There is so much in the Bible about service. Members of a body in the church called to work together as one in a way that only a body can work. That there are many members, the scriptures say, in a body, and they don't all have the same function. The best functioning body only has one pair of eyes, one heart, two lungs, two kidneys. You know, the best functioning body as designed has parts to it that are designed to function separately, and they don't all do the same thing. How does God organize a church? What does the scripture say about the general structure of a gathered assembly of Christians? Well, friends, it has absolutely nothing to say about levels of leadership any higher than the local pastor. Of that local assembly, an elder-led church is the model. Men alone are permitted and called to pastoral or eldership ministry. No women can pastor. This is God's design. Deal with it. No women can teach or have authority over men in the church. He calls this level of leadership, and in the local church, there are deacons, maybe deaconesses. There are positions that we fill as teachers, as women and men, in Sunday schools, with the children, with the general assembly, with couples, however you see fit to do it. The governing roles of the church establish under them levels of leadership and responsibilities to function in that assembly for the good of the whole. And there's just so much in the Bible about being a part of something like this that I just want to remind you of it, listener, and ask you, what are you doing? There's just no doubt the blessing you are to a leadership team when you will come in and volunteer to do things for that church. Everything. You know, we want to have meals, we want to have people hang out and grill out and belong and be a part of a community and do days in the park or whatever. Do you know how much work goes into that? If you had a parish council, some call it, a group of leaders in the church who may not hold, a group of people in the church who may not hold a leadership position, elders, you know, deacons. A diaconate is somewhat of a leadership position, can be. You know, but they come together to do the things that they know the church needs to do. It takes a lot of work and many members to do the work in the church. No one member can do it. What are you doing to honor that in your own life? What part of the body are you? Honestly, it is such a blessing when somebody volunteers. When somebody serves in the church, I can say this as a pastor, when somebody steps up and says, I'm here, what do you need? It is incredibly encouraging. And you want to just take care of that person. You want to make sure that that person is known, that what they're doing is such a blessing to you. You want to make sure that that person is protected in the church and honored, and you pray for them, and you want to see that service become a blessing for them. It is better to give than to receive, and you want to just make sure that that person is understood. You know, why are you doing this? That there is a blessing for you, and thank you. You want to thank them. And this is a part of why Paul writes to churches and says things like, you know, let your pastors and overseers give watch for your soul joyously, because it's good for you. You know, he says it'd be bad for you if their being your pastor is something they begrudgingly do. You know, like, I don't want to take care of this person. This person's lazy and selfish, and I don't want to take care of them. but I got to because they're in my flock. The attitude of a pastor will not be negative towards you. We understand that not everybody is in a place where they're going to serve and be able to serve right now, and that's okay. Hey, it says God equips and calls and opportunity meets availability and interest, all of that. We want to work with you when you can, and but there's also a responsibility that pastors should be reminding their people of. You are responsible if you attend a church to give to it financially. You're responsible. You're required to. How could you not? Do you not understand that the pastor has a family, probably? We don't ordain priests in the Christian church. Do you understand that what your pastor does and in the church, the air conditioning and the lighting and the plumbing and the taxes and the everything else, it requires money? Are you some kind of a lazy freeloader that you think you're not obligated to support if you partake? You are. But it's even beyond just what you do with your money. That's a part of your giving. What about your time? What about your time? What can you give that will be a blessing to others in the church? Oh my goodness, now I see what it is. Why this traffic is as bad as it is right now. What can you do to give of your time to them? That is a tremendous gift and blessing to the body when you can and you do. And you know what? It's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you some free time. It's going to cost you some leisurely time when you could just be about yourself and something. Yep, sure will. But blessed are you who give. And when you give. So I just want to remind you, be in some sort of ministry in your life. Be about the Lord's work. Be at work as a laborer in His vineyard, in this harvest. Be about that in your life. You want to be. And the more you are as a part of your ministry, living your life among other believers and doing good works, it returns to you. It has a way of coming back, and what we give is what we receive and the blessings of it. It is no joke and no there's no illusion in my life that some of the greatest reward I've got is serving in the church. And it ain't from the people in the church. They are generally unappreciative. They are generally unaware of what you do as a leader, of all the work. They just show up, partake, and go home. That's typically the case. I mean, it's just our culture. But what are you doing in the body? There are gifts of the Holy Spirit. There are certain gifts that perpetuate in all generations, that come and remain today, giftings in the church that we can utilize and partake of as a body, functions of the body that work that way. And I hope you're being used. And I hope you enjoy being used. I hope you benefit from from being used. I'm sorry, I'm laughing at different things on the road here today. This traffic is just horrible in town, and there's just construction going on, and so we're dealing with it. But the blessing of this being used in the church and in ministry is just something that I pray you understand. It's something that I pray you have come to see and savor in your own life, because it really is a part of Christian living. Whether it's the first century or the 21st century, to have people understand this about you and what you do is tremendous. And it's just something that when you're a part of it, you know it. And if you're not being recognized for it, just keep at it. Keep serving Christ and his people, because it's both. When you serve Christ's people, you serve Christ. And when you serve Christ, you're going to serve his people. It is part and parcel of what we are called to do. And the more you're in it, and the more you know that and see that, the more of a blessing you will be to yourself and those around you. God never calls for rogue Christians to run around. In the new covenant, just like in the old, he builds a people, a assembly gathered around something, the truth, gathered around the message, and called to do certain things together. The Lord's Supper, other ordinances, being there for one another's children, doing life together, every part of it. I saw a comment recently where a pastor said, you know, it just recently hit me. You know, I've often thought what I might say to people if I knew it was my last night to live. What might I say to my family, to my friends, to my church, if this was the last sermon I was ever going to preach to you, you know, or right near it, a few more hours to go maybe, what might I do or say? And the guy said, it just hit me. Jesus knew that, and he washed people's feet. In the Last Supper, we have Jesus in that upper room, celebrating the Passover, instituting it, constituting it as his blood and body now, in that room, and he knows he's going to be arrested. He knows he's the next day going to be crucified. And one of the last things he does with that knowledge is get down and wash people's feet. What a metaphor for the church. You know, what a thought that if we know this is our last, this is it, what do? Do we wash one another's feet? Do we get to work for one another? How do you do that? Friend, it doesn't have to be behind the pulpit. Can you sing? Then sing to the Lord in front of his people and help them join you in a beautiful song. Can you play that? Can you carry a beat? Maybe there's a drum set. Maybe you just get one of them there wooden boxes people are using these days and sitting on it, and you play it like between your legs, just hit the wood. Can you do that? Then do it and help your people in rhythm sing to the Lord. Can you show up a little bit before service and just see if anything's needed? Help out in any way, getting things ready? Can you stick around a little bit later, after a service, for the same thing, to close up, to help out? Is there an event going on where there's some, you know, usually we do our food, such a wonderful place to have ministry is around our tables, where you can sit in fellowship with other believers over a meal. Can you prepare food? Or wash the dishes after, or take out the trash from it, or wipe down the tables? Can you, are you interested in helping the church with its financial area? Well, get to know its finances. Be in on the meetings. Weigh in. Help out with that collection and what we do with it. Can you help in the preparing bulletins for the weekend? Can you monitor a Facebook page and do some posts and be a source where, you know, one of the elders can send you a note and say, hey, we need to post this to the page this weekend regarding the 19th in our, you know, VBS. And you can just know what to do. Can you help out? Everything you can do in the church, do it unto the Lord. Whatever it is, do it unto the Lord. You know, is there a missionary trip you can do? You know, go build some houses somewhere. Go bring the gospel. There are ministries that travel and teach people how to run generators and bring them to small villages and dig wells and you name it. The church has been about this since the beginning. Are there things you can do with that? Get your passport ready, brother or sister. might just be on it sooner than you think. Can you pray? How about a prayer meeting for your pastor, your pastors, the elders of your church and for your church? Can you organize a prayer meeting? Yeah, maybe your church doesn't have a contract, somebody that can clean up in the summer. Can you cut grass? Can you, come around and pull weeds every now and then? Can you help out? I know it's not big. Some of these things, we just want to leave that for the plebeians. But the body has many members. What can you do? What are you doing? There's so many opportunities and so many things that your church would be so blessed by to have you doing that I just want to remind you that it is a blessing to you that we are after as well. It's your blessing. I mean, we need you. We need people to step in and volunteer and help out to make it less of a drudgery for your elders. So you don't want them miserable doing their job. And their finances, you don't want them, you don't want them like a muzzled ox unnecessarily burdened by things that they shouldn't be so they can tread the grain. There is a ministry of the word and of prayer that elders are supposed to be about. And if there aren't the deacons and the other leaders to help out in the work of the ministry, they are not going to be able to do it. They're going to be burdened with things they shouldn't be burdened with. Where they should be the ones free to be able to go to the hospital when you need somebody to go to the hospital. Can you do that? Can you help out with that and be a part of the hospitality of the church? And if somebody's in the hospital, whether it's for good or bad reasons, like, they had a baby and it's good, they're just there, or bad reasons that something went wrong and they're in the hospital, you can, shoot, there are apps these days. Websites like MealTrain.something or whatever, where you can just go in and it's just a software that says, hey, sister's going to be in, Vanessa's in the hospital for 6 days. Mike got dinner Monday night. Susie got it Tuesday night. Brad's got it Wednesday night. And you coordinate, and then Vanessa can say, I know where my food's coming from in the next 5 to 6 days while I'm here. That's just the church being the church. Can you organize something like that for your church? So if somebody's in the hospital, somebody pays them a visit and just lets them know you're thinking about them, praying for them, praying with them while they're there, getting them a drink of water. Can you go to a local prison and ministry, men or women, to a women's prison maybe? I wouldn't necessarily advise the other way around for obvious reasons. Can you organize a prison ministry on behalf of your church? Deliver sermons to the prisoners? Via the church's website or in your own teaching as well, and just have a ministry there. You could just go on and on. What are you doing? What are you doing as a member of the body? You claim to be a member of the body. Well, no member of the body is good sitting on the couch unless it's in the body. So what are you doing? What can you do? Get creative. If it's something that hadn't been done before, ask your leaders about it. You want to do a praise dance in the church? All right, let's make sure the song is theologically accurate. Maybe we do it. Never had that instrument in church before, but you play it? Let's see. There's so many things you can do. But what's your motivation? Unless you have the right motivation, I think you're going to give up pretty soon. And sadly, the church is obviously, is normally not going to be the return of blessing. Do it for the Lord. Do it unto Jesus. When he talked about those who visited him when he was in jail, or helped him when he was sick, or fed him when he was hungry, the response every time from the people, when did we do this for you? His answer was, when you did it for the least of men. When you did it for those who couldn't help you, you did it unto me. And what a blessing that'll be for us on the day. There are many things you can do, listener. There's many things you can do. I hope you have the right motive to do them. The love of Christ and the love for his people. Because even though I know there has to be a miracle called glorification, when I die, there's a final purifying of my mind, not through purgation and satisfaction. No, God, no. But there's a miracle that happens so that I am instantly able to love people the way heaven will help me to love them. Just being there. I will have had to have had this miracle called glorification. Because guess what? Anybody to your left or right that has given their heart to Christ, has been born again, they're going to be with you forever. May not be in such close proximity, and perhaps that's not too disconcerting for you, but you're going to be there with them. And we stick with the stuck. So serve them. Give your life for them. Find a way. Can you watch babies in a nursery? I'm not big on, you know, children's church when they're teens. Sorry. I think children's camps and children's ministries in my culture create more false converts than Rome. I think that they are utter insults to Christian ministry. You know, pray on the emotion, pray on ignorance, foster emotionalism, surface level, feel good Christianity. And they make more people feel like Christians that aren't than they ever should. But there's a big place for a nursery where you get those young ones, you know, 1 year old, obviously. It's just nice for mom and dad to have a break. And it's nice for them to have a break. And let them go and have fun while the parents focus on worshiping God and hearing a sermon. You know, 4 or 5 years old, up to really 5 years old, to have a children's ministry, I think is a blessing. Can you do that? Once a month? Or once every other month? Trust me, it will be a blessing to your leaders to do it. And you get a couple other guys interested, man, you're coming around once every month or so and doing children's church for an hour on Sunday morning so that a couple of parents can sit in the congregation and just listen. Just listen. Just take notes. Just focus. And I'm not a big fan on I want my kids in church with me. From 10 years old and up, I want them with me. I want them hearing the sermons I want to hear. I want them thinking the thoughts I want to think. I'm not trying to train them to adolescence. I'm trying to train them for adulthood. And so I'm not a fan of kids ages 10 and up being in children's churches, youth ministries. Those activities should be outside the Sunday morning hour and supplemental to the Sunday morning hour, but they are not the main course for our kids. Now, my opinion on that might change with a solid youth minister who understood that his job is not to put peanut butter in his armpits and just gross the kids out where one comes and bites it out. Yeah, I've heard of things like that happening in youth ministries. Country road, take me home to the place I belong. You know, I've seen this song in youth ministries. Heaven, doing the John Denver covers. Okay, might be okay. I know, in and of itself. But what these ministries are often telling kids these days, young kids, unprepares them. It disprepares them for the world. Doesn't prepare them for anything. Because unless they're in the youth camp with that high on s'mores feeling and the kumbaya spirit of a little bit of asphyxiation or a little bit of, what is that called when you lose high altitudes, hypoxia, little bit of hypoxia from singing so long with repetitious choruses, and just like if you, you know, like, you know, flex a lot and you get an embolism in your brain, it's kind of euphoric. Maybe not at the embolism level, but just up to it. If you hold your breath very hard, push out, and you kind of start to black out a little bit. Yeah, that's what happens when you sing so long and hard. Unless I'm there and I'm not feeling Jesus, well, then it's, you know, oh, I miss that feeling. You unprepare, you disprepare, you ill-repair or ill-prepare kids for life in a cold, sinful, and yet very kind and welcoming to sin and death world. What work could you do? Could you make coffee? Could you make coffee on a Sunday morning, make sure it's done and clean up a little bit? Could you read scripture publicly for the day in front of the congregation? Just give it a read and some pathos and passion. Could go on and on and on, and everything that you do could be such a blessing to Jesus and to his people. And I just hope you get it. I hope you get it. There's so many things you can do. And again, while it is a blessing to your leaders to have you know these things and seek to implement them, while that is a blessing for them, I seek the fruit that rebounds to your account as well. I want you to know the joy of the Lord. And I know that part of that is going to be, you ever heard the analogy of the Dead Sea? Why it's dead? Because it has so many inflows, but the outflow is just really not known. It just kind of drains down into the earth or evaporates out into the atmosphere again. There's no outlet to the Dead Sea. And so if you're one of them people that just wants everybody to pour into you and pour into you and pour into you, and there's no outlet, you become dead. Worthless to the body. What good is a nose when it's 6 feet away? So please pray about this. This isn't to beat you up. We want you to serve. We want you. We need you to serve in the church. And the blessing that it comes to you for doing so, I'm jealous for you to know it. So talk to somebody this weekend. Talk to somebody today in your church. What can I do? Think about it ahead of time. Maybe they don't know. You figure it out. Be bold. Think outside the box. Do what you can do unto Christ. And I pray blessings on you who would, because it will be such a blessing on those around you.